You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Awesome. Well, it's so good to be in the house of God today and see so many people filled in this room. Who knows that we needed that new building? Come on, this is just the start, Audacious Church. God has so, so much in store for us. We've been on an amazing journey, but that is just a fragment of what He is going to do. But I got the honor and privilege of bringing the word to you this morning, and I'm super excited about it. This is the last message of our It's Complicated series. It's Complicated. Maybe this might be one of your first times in church, and what this series has all been about has been focusing on relationships. Friendships, more than friends, all the things in between, we've been looking at relationships. And to do that, we've been looking at the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, books found in the Old Testament of the Bible, looking at different Bible characters and what we can learn from them to help equip us in our relational maturity. Last week, Pastor Josh brought an amazing message looking at the character of Jonathan. And it was a phenomenal message. I was listening to it back, and Josh was encouraging us that we need courage in our relationships. And can we just honor Pastor Josh for an amazing word and response time that he led us in last week? Phenomenal. And I'm coming into land, and we're talking about a man called Nathan. Nathan. Turn to the person next to you and say, Nathan. Nathan. If you're Nathan in the room, we're not talking about you today, don't worry. This is a man from the Bible. But the name and the title of today's message is Be Honest. Be Honest. And I've been really enjoying this series. I found that it's been really equipping for me in my relationships. I hold quite a lot of different relationships, and some are good, some are not so good. One relationship I've got is really good is me and my air fryer. Me and my air fryer have a very good relationship. I love my air fryer. It looks after me. It provides for me. It makes me smile. I love my air fryer. I realize how much I love my air fryer and how good our relationship was when I had to cook without my air fryer. Oh my word. I had to cook sausages without an air fryer under the grill. And it took me probably the best part of my weekend to make sure those sausages were cooked all the way through. It took ages. But a relationship which I struggle with and that's not going so well is me and onions. Growing up, onions used to make my mum cry. And let me tell you, no one makes my mum cry. So I've been working on it, but there's a lot of animosity between me and onions, and there's a lot of layers to get through. But relationship with things that are abstract are quite easy. It's me and this thing. I either have a good relationship with it or I don't. And when we put people in the mix, that's when relationships can be amazing, but also complicated. Because it's not just me and my thoughts and my opinions. There's someone else involved. In April, I had an amazing privilege to go over to America. Yeehaw, anyone? If not, that's okay. And I was in America, and I've never been on a long flight before. And I flew from Manchester to London really early in the morning. And I got on one of those massive planes, I think one of the Boeing ones. I don't really know my planes, but it was a big plane. And I was excited because I was like, I've never been on one of these big ones before. What's it going to be like? So I walk in and walk up the stairs on low sleep, and I see like individual sections with curtains and my own big TV. And I'm thinking, wow, all this for me. And I see people are bringing food out, and I'm like, I'll have whatever he's having. And they say, excuse me, sir, you're down there. I'm like, no. Maybe there's more of these big, spacious, comfy chairs down at the back of the plane. I kid you not, as I'm walking, I'm seeing the booths get smaller and smaller. The TVs shrink. as I go to try and stop in what I now know as business class, I'm like, I'm fine here. I think this is around here. They say, no, sir, you need to come further. As they lead me right to the back of the plane, and I'm like, oh, okay, I see what it is. But no hope was lost as I had Angry Birds, anyone familiar with the game, on my little TV on the plane. So then it was all good, and I had a lovely journey. Get to America, and there's a guy who comes and picks me up, and he became a really good friend of mine. And he was kind of looking after me while I was out in America, and he would always ask me this question, sometimes once, sometimes twice, sometimes three times a day. He'd say, Dan, what do you want to eat? And that is a great question, because I love food. I love food, but for me, I love people more. So I'm kind of like, whatever you want, I'm happy with that. We'll go for that. And by the fourth day, I had had more burgers than days I'd been there. And I was feeling large. I was feeling sluggish and slow. And it got to the fourth day and he said, Dan, what do you want to eat? And I'm like, oh, should I be honest with him? Do I tell him the truth? And I thought, I can't tell an American I don't want a burger. That feels rude. So I was like, I'm all right. Whatever you want, I'll have it. And it got to the sixth day. And I said to him, right, this is the moment. I've got to be honest. I just couldn't do it anymore. I needed something clean, something fresh. I needed something green. I've not had any vegetables in 6 days. And I said, mate, I'm sorry. Please, can we just have anything but a burger? And he said, Dan, thank you for being honest with me. I've been struggling this week. I thought all you wanted was burgers. Thank you for being honest. And we sat down and we had some carrot sticks that day and felt a lot better. But all it took was just a little bit of honesty in our relationship for me to have a much better rest of my trip, much better rest of my journey. And church, what I want to say today is that honesty is really important. Honesty is important. Over the past few weeks in this series, we've been looking at relationships. And I think if one of the key things we've looked at is that all of us in this room, every one of us wants real, life-giving, effective relationships. We want something more than that's just a conversation on a Sunday. We want something more than people just telling us the nice things or just telling us what we want to hear. We want something more, and what that is we want people to be honest. For us to have real relationships, effective relationships, we need to be honest. Turn to the person next to you and say, be honest. Like I said, we're picking up a story in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Some honest conversations in the room. You can hold those for the foyer. We don't have enough protective services for anything that might break out. You can. But we're looking at a guy called Nathan. Nathan was a prophet, and we're looking in 2 Samuel 12 at the prophet Nathan's relationship with King David. Nathan and David, they were really good friends. They were two people who grew up in the same time, had known each other a long time, and there was relationship between them. That's really key. The prophet Nathan, his role was to be one of the counselors to King David. And what that meant is King David had given him permission to speak and be honest to him. And what we read here in 2 Samuel chapter 12 is there's a situation that's occurred. Whilst King David's army had gone out fighting, what King David had done is he'd had an affair with a lady called Bathsheba whilst her husband was out fighting. Then what happened is King David had the man, her husband, Bathsheba's husband, killed while he was out fighting. And nothing had been spoken about what had happened until what we read here in 2 Samuel chapter 12. It says this, the Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, there were two men in a certain town, one rich, the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it and grew it up with him and his children, shared in his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from giving him one of his own sheep, one of his own cattle to prepare a meal. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor lamb, took this one that the poor man had brought up. Oh, I've just lost where I am. He took the poor lamb. Verse 5, David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are that man. You are that man." What Nathan's done here is he's provided an illustration to David for what has happened and what his actions have done. And in this moment, what Nathan has done, as the honest friend he is he's brought honesty into his relationship with King David. He's walked up to the king and said, "What you've done, it's wrong." But this was really important in David's life. In the Bible, it talks about that David, this is the only time it describes this about a person, is David was a man after God's own heart. But we see in this situation that David was after his own heart. So what the prophet Nathan did in this moment is he came, brought his honesty, and offered a course correction for King David. Tried to bring him back in line with where he should be walking and where his heart should be facing. Nathan was honest. And what I want to encourage you with this morning, church, is that we all need Nathans in our lives. We all need honesty from others. We all need it. And this example here might sound a little bit scary. And what honesty is truth. Okay? And what that means is that when something's good and you're doing something well, someone's honest and speaks that over you. This example here is the second interaction between the prophet Nathan and King David. The first interaction, prophet Nathan is honest with David, 2 Samuel chapter 7, and speaks a word that says, "God will establish your kingdom, David, and make your name great." He's honest with him about what God has said to him and speaks life over David. So that means that King David knows that when Nathan brings this word, that it is genuine, that it is truth. And church, I want to encourage you, we need people in our lives that bring us on the right course, that maybe call us out when we're not doing something quite right. But those are the people as well who, when you need that championing and encouragement, that they say, "You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're doing an amazing job. You're gifted and keep going." Because you know when those people say it, that they mean it. That you know that they mean it. We need honesty from others. I'm so thankful for the relationships in my life with people like Pastor Lee, Pastor Josh, Gabe, my friends, people over the years who I've been friends with, I have relationship with. There's relational equity in the bank, and they have permission to tell me when, "Dan, what are you doing?" But they also have permission to say, "Dan, keep going." And I know that when they say it, they mean it on both sides of the spectrum. Because I know there's times in my life, I know that we're all like this, that we're on a journey with Jesus. And there's times where maybe I might be just walking a little bit off course, where my heart might not be quite in the right place. I need Nathans in my life. And church, we all need honesty from others. The second thing is this, is we need honesty to others. Honesty to others. We all need to be a Nathan. We all need to be a Nathan. And what this does is, being a Nathan, it takes courage. Could you imagine what Nathan was feeling after this massive thing had happened and no one has said anything? And he's got to walk up to the palace and say, "King David, it's not on. What's happened?" It takes courage. When I was younger, my uncle, he would often buy Christmas presents for me and my brother that my mum wouldn't like. For example, my mum wasn't a big fan of the Nerf guns, but we kind of twisted her arm a little bit so we could get a couple. But so what my uncle did is he got me and my brother crossbows the next Christmas. I remember the year after, my mum has a very strict rule, no football in the house. And my uncle, the following Christmas, bought us footballs specifically engineered for indoor football play. And they had lights in and everything. And I remember me and my brother, we were in our hallway and I was, oh, church, I'd lined up this shot. I'd seen the ball and the net and it was the World Cup final in my mind and I took my steps back for composure. And I hit this beautiful shot around the banister, skimming the window frame, and bang, into my mum's favourite giraffe ornament. And it just, you know when it something falls in slow-mo, and then just crack, and the head came off, and I'm thinking, no. Uncle Neil, you've set me up for failure, no. And I remember thinking, can I blame it on something? Can I say, oh, it was windy? Can I say it was an earthquake? Because I'm trembling. I mean, come on, Mum, I promise you it happened. And I remember thinking, oh, you know when you just know you've got to be honest about something. And I took the courage step into the living room. Giraffe head in one hand, football in the other, eyes to the floor. Mum, I'm sorry, I broke the giraffe head. And I was shaking, it was scary. But when it comes to being honest, we need courage to bring honesty to others. We need to be courageous in our honesty. But the cool thing about in this story here is that Nathan wasn't just by himself. Nathan knew that God was with him. And if God's for you, who can be against you? Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you? Commanded, told you, be strong and very courageous. Church, I believe that there's conversations that we need to have through relationship, through love, but it's going to take courage for us to do that. Young people in school, I believe that you're going to be put in places where you're going to bring honesty. Because what honesty is truth. In your workplaces, there might be some tough conversations that need having, but through relationship and love and taking that step of faith, honesty can be brought into the conversation. We all need courage in our relationships. And as I've just alluded to there, we also need to make sure that we're doing, when we're being honest, that we're doing it out of grace and truth. When we're honest to others, we do it out of grace and truth. Like I said, when I was growing up, some of you might know my parents, and I grew up in a Christian household, which was an absolute blessing. But it meant that there were some rules. There were some things that I could do, and there were some things I couldn't do. Pokemon, nope. Tracy Beaker, nope. Tracy Beaker Returns, nope. Beyonce, nope. Apparently I should only be crazy in love with Jesus. But the biggest one, Harry Potter, no. To this day, I have never seen Harry Potter. And it's never caused me too much issues in building relationships with people. It's never come up too much and stopped me making a relationship with people until this one time. We were at a youth event and I walk in the room and this guy just locks eyes with me. And he points at me and says, you. And I'm like, me? And he says, you. And he sprints over to me, looks me in the eyes, never spoken to him before. Don't know who he is. And he says, you look like a Hufflepuff. I'm like, a what? I'm ready to lay hands of prayer and petition on my brother. And for those of you who don't know, like me, apparently Hufflepuff is some like Harry Potter thing I don't know. I was like, what are you saying? Should I be offended? Should I celebrate it? And I was just completely bamboozled. That's the only word I've got for it. And when he came and he brought that to me, I was shut off. I was like, oh my word, I'm ready, I'm defending. Is this guy insulted me? And what this guy had done in this situation is he brought honesty, because apparently I did look like it. Whatever, I'm not bothered anymore, I promise. He brought it out of courage, but the way he did it, there was no grace. He came in and communicated it in courage and came up to me, but the way he did it was all wrong. Church, when we're being honest with other people, when we're being Nathans in other people's lives, we do it out of grace and out of truth. It's a cool illustration I was reading about that grace is like the epidural, like the anesthesia in a operation, and truth is like the scalpel. We gotta have both. Have one, have truth without the anesthesia. It's gonna be painful. And on the flip side, we can't just have the anesthesia without the operation. We need both grace and truth. Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking the truth in love, which is in grace, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Speaking the truth in love. Church, could you imagine what it would look like if in our friendships, in those relationships, that we communicated things out of grace and out of love? Could you imagine how effective, how deep, how powerful our relationships would be if we had Nathans in our lives for us and we were Nathans back to them, doing it out of relationship with them, out of friendship, but also doing it out of grace and truth? We need honesty from others. We all need a Nathan. We need honesty to others. We all need to be a Nathan. Well, the final thing I want to encourage you with is we need honesty with Jesus. Honesty with Jesus. After this dialogue in 2 Samuel chapter 12, we read in the book of Psalms, which is primarily written by David, in Psalm number 51, about David's lament, his broken heart about what he's done. And what Nathan's honesty creates in David is honesty with God. In Psalm 51, verses 10 to 12, we read, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Church, we need to be honest with Jesus. We need to be honest with Jesus. And before I go into a bits of what I want to say, I was just thinking as we were singing the beautiful song of He Will Come Again, I just want to just take a few moments to, if you don't know Jesus, or maybe you kind of forgot who he is, I want to tell you. See, what 2025 is it's not just a random year. It's 2025 years since the world was changed. It was 2025 years since the Son of God came down to earth, named Emmanuel, God with us. 2025 years since the course of history was about to be changed. Talks about in the years that Jesus grew up, the Son of Man, but also fully Son of God, that he grew in wisdom, stature, favor of God, favor of man. Luke 2:52. And it says that when he came to 30, he got baptized by his cousin John, drove into the wilderness, and the devil himself tried to tempt him. After 40 days, 40 nights of tempting him, he was not shaken, he was not moved, and he was propelled out of the wilderness, ready to start his ministry, healing the sick, restoring sight to the blind, telling demons that were in people, go in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who this is all about. Relationships with other people are great, but it's relationship with the Most High, which is the most important. Church, we need our relationship with Jesus to be honest. And he didn't just do that. After 33 years on this planet, at one of the times where humanity had figured out one of the most painful ways to die, that is when Jesus came to die. Died on a cross, went down into hell for 3 days, came back to life with the keys of sin and grave, sin and death, came up and declared that it is finished. He declared that he has overcome the world. So church, it doesn't matter what you're going through, Jesus has overcome. He's overcome it. It is finished, it is done. So you might have something going on in your life. You might be stressed. You can be honest with Jesus because he's overcome the world. You might have something that's painful in your life. Don't worry, you can be honest with him because he's overcome the world. Church, when we're honest with Jesus, when we bring our truth to him, he speaks his truth on us. When you might be feeling weak, you know that you are strong. Jesus is bigger than your problem. He's calm in your worry. He's strong when you're unsure, wise in your confusion, steadfast in your doubt. You can be honest with Jesus. He is not concerned about your worry. When you're not sure if Jesus exists, it doesn't make him disappear. It makes him draw near, because he is not worried about your doubt. He's not concerned or intimidated by what's going on in your life. All he wants to do is draw near and be with you. Trust Jesus. You might be feeling weak this morning. 1 John 2:14 says, you are strong. Jesus' word lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. You might be feeling shame, but in Romans 10:11, it says there's no shame or condemnation in those who are in him. Church, we can trust in Jesus. Let's be honest with him, because when we invite him into our life, when we speak truth over to him, he speaks the real truth onto us.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.